Well, turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, where we've been studying for the last little while in this epistle of 1 John. And as we have done so, we've covered a number of things, but we come this day to the matter of prayer. Because John is writing here, and from verse number 14, having spoken of the confidence in verse 13 that they have because God's word is given, that we may know that we have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It has a follow-on implication. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Amen. Just so far. Well, we see there particularly in the early part of that reading the confidence that there is for those who truly pray. We saw in our reading, as we read together, the way in which the Lord answers the prayers of the hearts of God's people. When Solomon was sleeping, and the Lord met him in a dream, and in that dream, the Lord asked Solomon what would he wish. And Solomon's heart prayer was for wisdom. And the Lord answered that and gave him much besides, because what he asked for was in line, as we shall see, with the will of Almighty God. And so there was a blessing to him in that which he asked. And it was the prayer of his heart, because he wasn't actually having a time of prayer at the time. He woke and realized it was a dream. So God had understood the prayer of his heart in the situation that Solomon was in there in 1 Kings 3. In Acts 12, it was a far more clear gathering for prayer. The church had gathered, not just one individual, but they had united together with one accord for the great purpose of seeing Peter delivered. They'd already seen others killed, and they feared that he was about to become the next victim of this purge that was taking place against Christians. Politicians ingratiating themselves with the wicked by attacking the godly. Some things, sadly, never change. But we see here in 1 John that it's the principle with regards to the confidence that we have in prayer. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21, we read this. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. A little later in chapter 4, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. You remember back in Paul's epistle to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 3, there is that same confidence which is spoken of with regards to the people of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 12, we read there of the confidence that we have. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory, in whom, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. So this confidence has a foundation in the fact that we know that we believe unto eternal life. When you come to God in prayer, if you don't know the Lord as your Father in heaven, you're not going to have much confidence when you come to Him in prayer. And the reason is very simple. When you go to, if your father is still alive, those of you who have a father who is still alive, go to your father looks at you, recognizes you, and you say, Daddy, Father, I need something, I would like something. You have confidence He will recognize you as His child. And He recognizes, as your father, He has a responsibility toward you. And therefore He will answer your prayers according to His ability and according to the necessity of the situation. He understands the thing, and so He will deal with it not just according to what you want, but what you need. And so the confidence that you have when you go in such a way is based upon that relationship. Now, if one of the other children in the street should look and say, well, your daddy's a nice daddy. Wish I had a daddy like that daddy. I'm going to go along and ask that daddy if he will do for me what he does for his children. You would say, well, he's a nice daddy. He might do it. But there wouldn't be the same confidence because there wouldn't be the same relationship. There would be the hope that perhaps he might, because of the kindness that he has shown in the way he deals with his own children, and the fact that he shows himself to be kind even to those who are not his own children. He showers kindness on others. There would be a hope, but there wouldn't be the same level of confidence. Here John is speaking particularly of this confidence that we have in him, that we have because of verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you have eternal life, and because of the confidence you have that you are his child, that you have eternal life, that you have that relationship with God through his Son. You approach him in prayer in an entirely different way from those who do not really know him. The foundation is the foundation of eternal life and the relationship which that speaks of. That's why we have an assurance that our prayers will be answered. Because when we ask as those who say, Our Father, which art in heaven. We ask as those who are connected by that deep and profoundly tender relationship of father and child, one to another. So that's the foundation of the confidence that we have. But there's also a limitation to the requests that we make, because he says here in chapter 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And you see, that's a very important limitation. He doesn't say, Lord, give me the numbers for the lottery. He doesn't say, ask for me anything you want. You can choose to have whatever you want in the way of your lusts of your heart. It's for those things that are according to his will. It's for those things that God looks upon and says, this will be for their good, or this will be for their benefit and blessing, or the blessing of others through them. Really, according to his will is the secret of all true prayer in Jesus' name. When we come to the Lord and we seek for those things that we know have the approval of God. Now, the idea of things being according to his will is found in various places throughout Scripture. In 1 Peter, Peter writes, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Sometimes it's the will of God that we go through times of suffering. Sometimes the Lord allows that. And so when we pray according to God's will, God doesn't always say the road will always be smooth. He doesn't say that you will always have a bank account that far exceeds those of your neighbors. God doesn't say that everything will be easy. God has a will for his people which is for our good, but sometimes it can be quite tough, quite difficult. It can involve sadness and sorrow. We follow the one who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It actually is never recorded in Scripture that Jesus laughed. We read of him weeping. We never read of him laughing. We are told the joy of the Lord is our strength, but we go through a valley of sorrows here in this world, a valley of tears. And the will of God can sometimes be very challenging with regards to the difficulties that we are given to suffer according to the will of God in the way that the Lord calls upon us to suffer. When the Lord allows suffering to come our way, if we suffer according to the will of God, that also means this, that we suffer in the right way, that we don't become wild and worldly and nasty, but that we, which is probably our default reaction as individuals, and it takes sanctification to try and keep that under, but that we suffer according to the will of God in the way that Stephen the martyr did when he prayed for his persecutors, and the way, of course, the Saviour did when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's suffering according to the will of God. Is realizing that God may allow things to come our way that we wouldn't choose, and then dealing with that in the way that honors God. And when we pray according to the will of God, that's a limitation which says that we seek through our prayers not to simply twist the arm of God or to take away every pang from our situation, but seek to bring ourselves into such a situation that we can glorify God in whatever is his will for us. And that often is hard and difficult. And I do not in any way downplay how spiritually demanding such submission to the will of God is. It is not an easy thing. And therefore, when we pray, and we pray, I trust, according to the will of God, we do it recognizing that he is the one who gave himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So whatever it is that the Lord's will for us is, and sometimes it's going through ways that are difficult and trying and we wouldn't choose for ourselves, yet we know this, that the Father has planned and purposed for us our salvation and given his Son to deliver us from this present evil world. And so when we pray according to his will, we pray as those who realize that God is in control and he knows what he's doing. And his will and his purpose for us is good. You remember what's said in Ephesians chapter 1, where it's talking there, that possibly the most soaring of all the epistles of Paul, where he deals with the gospel of Christ and he goes right back to God's purpose in eternity. And he says this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So the will of God there is bound up with this predestination unto the grace of God. And so when we pray according to his will, we pray knowing that sometimes the will of God for us is we go through trials. Sometimes as we go through those trials, it's hard for us to remember, but we do know that the Lord has planned our deliverance. To deliver us from this present evil world and to save our souls and to make us all that we should be. C.S. Lewis said this, I think I may have put it in your notes. Prayer is request. The essence of request, as distinct from compulsion, is that it may or may not be granted. And if an infinitely wise being listens to the requests of finite and foolish creatures, of course he will sometimes refuse them. You remember what we were singing in Psalm 1 just at the very beginning of our worship. Give ear unto my words, O Lord, my meditation weigh. Consider my meditation. Think about what I'm asking. Because sometimes we don't always ask wisely. And we want God to think upon what we say. And when we ask, to give us that which is good and convenient for us, not that which we might in our folly misask or mistakenly ask for, that would not be for our good. So the limitation is that the things we ask for are to be according to his will. But the implication is that if we have this foundation of confidence that we are saved and we are asking according to his will, then we know that he heareth us. And the implication of him hearing us is not simply that he's aware of our prayers, but that he hears them with approval. That he hears them to the answering of those requests that are made for us. When it says here that he hears us, it doesn't just mean that he hears us and then it, you know, sort of, you think of some of the young ones, you know, he has to do something that's in one ear out the other. Or you talk to daddy and it takes about half an hour to get from this ear to the brain to register and a hand to come back. But he hears us means more than just that he's aware of what we're asking. It means he hears and will give what we ask of him. Those things which are according to his will, not simply according to our will or our lusts. I remember in the book of Hebrews, and there are many wonderful things laid up there for us in the book of Hebrews. But in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 7, we read this, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. The idea there of him being heard is not simply that God was aware of it, but that God answered. And so when we are confident that we know the Lord, we have this foundation of faith in Christ, we are believers, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we ask for those things which are according to his will, we have this confidence he hears us. He hears us to the doing of those things that are for our good, and sometimes to the not doing of those things which would be not for our good. Sometimes the kindest things the Lord will do for you is not answer the prayers that you ask for. I remember reading of one woman who said, if God had answered all her prayers, she would have married the wrong man several times before the right one came along. You see, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our situation. He knows who we are and what we need. And therefore, when we pray, he hears us and he knows the things to say yes to. He knows the things to say no to, and he knows the things to say wait. And he knows the difference, and we need to learn that too. And the implication is that there are times when the Lord will hear us and he will know what we need and answer accordingly. And that willingness to limit ourselves to the will of God and to know that he hears us and will do what's right, we see, I suppose, most perfectly in the prayer of our Saviour in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There's praying according to the will of the Father, for Jesus never asked for anything that was not perfect. There was that perfect relationship, not simply a saved son, but the Son of his love, the eternal Son of God. And he says, not my will, but thine be done. You remember the Apostle Paul, possibly the greatest Christian missionary and evangelist ever. And he writes with regards to something that was troubling him, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he's saying there, not just I had three times of prayer, he's saying I kept asking the Lord time and again and again. The problem with his sight. That's difficult when you want to be able to read. That's difficult when you want to speak to others. That's difficult when you're going on long journeys, sometimes over sea, sometimes over mountains. And he said, Lord, if I'm going to be a really good missionary, I need my eyesight. I need to be able to see what I'm doing. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He answered his prayer. He heard him. But he didn't answer the way that Paul expected him to, but the way Paul needed him to. And the Lord hears his people when they pray, and he hears you too. Sometimes when we ask those petitions that the Lord says are not necessarily for our good at that time, he does so to try our faith. And he makes us wait to see if we will hold on until the answer comes. Perhaps he waits to see the way in which it will be most to his glory and the good of the church generally for the answering of that prayer. Whatever it is, if we know the Lord as our Father, we are confident that when we pray, he hears our prayers. But of course, the conditions of true prayer, according to his will, as we've said. A.W. Pink said, it is because God has promised certain things that we can ask for them with the full assurance of faith. You see, when we ask for things according to his will, part of what that involves is this: that God has already declared, these are things I wish to give. How do we know we're asking for things according to his will? Well, we go to the Bible and we find out, what has God said? I will hear you when you ask of me these things. You look at the scripture and you see he says, well, if you ask for forgiveness, I'll hear you. If you ask for salvation and the sanctification of your soul, I will hear when you call. You say, well, then if I go and ask the Lord to save me, he'll hear me. Yes, he will. The Lord will not ignore such a cry. When we call unto him for salvation, we know that he has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. We know that he has said none that come to God through him shall in any wise be cast out. We know the Lord has promised to answer such prayers. That's why when we read in Scripture of such requests, the Lord answers them. And that's why we know when we go in such a way that this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Well, there you go. If you're looking for that which is good, if you're looking for that which will cause you to walk in holiness, the Lord answers those prayers. Sanctification. Walking in holiness. For comfort and trial, when you're going through those times which seem as if they would almost crush you, and you need to know comfort in the midst of it all, you don't know which way to turn. Well, if you go to God, you say, would he hear me? Yes, he would. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side, said the psalmist in Psalm 71. The Lord comforts us in all our need. When we come to him, he supplies our wants. He gives us grace to do our duty. And he promises, and we could spend the whole day looking at verses which the Lord gives to show that he will direct our way, that he will guide our path, that he will enable us, equip us with all that we need to live for his glory. To deliver us from the evils which beset us, and to enable us to show forth his praise. God has declared so many things in his word that he is happy to answer for his people. Therefore, there's never any lack of things for us to ask for. And know that we are praying according to the will of God, for he said, ask for these things. Along with that, of course, it's not only what he's declared he is willing to grant, but also what he deems best for us. I think I put it in your newsletter where William Culbertson, he says, keep praying, but be thankful that God's answers are wiser than your prayers. And I like that. God knows better what to give you than you know what to ask for. Keep praying. But know that God's answers are far wiser than your prayers. Let that comfort you. We never overestimate the care and the wisdom that God has to us. He knows far better than we do what we need and when we need it. And that is something that we can use to comfort ourselves when we think God isn't answering, and he is answering. He's just not answering the way we planned. What he deems best for you. When he deems it best for you. And how he deems it best to answer. These are best left with God. And so here in 1 John, John is looking and he's saying, we have this confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know that when he hears us with that approval, that the things we've asked are according to the will of the Father, then we know that he will give us those petitions, the answers to them, in a way and in a time that will be for the glory of God and the good of him, of us. He says we know that we have them. He's not saying we have them already. He says that we've as good as got them if they're for our good. In faith, if it's right for God, if it's consistent with all these things, then he will give those things that we stand in need of. Our Heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of. That's why in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. So as you pray in faith, for those things that are according to the will of God, according to the promises, according to what the Lord has said he will give to his people, in the time and in the way and according as he deems best. We have those things. Along with that, of course, we pray in the name of Jesus. That is, we do everything in a way that is consistent with our faith in the Saviour. His name, yes, is attached to those things that we pray, but praying in the name of Jesus means more than just attaching the name of Jesus to the end of our prayers. It means that we pray in Christ. It means that we pray so that it is that Christ, that is our intercessor on our behalf, takes those petitions of ours and presents them before the Father. So that it's like the mingling of the incense of the altar with the prayers of God's people, that Christ fragrances our prayers. And we are accepted in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is for our good that he bestows these things when we ask for those things while abiding, as it were, in fellowship with Christ, walking in his ways, doing his will. If ye abide in me, said Christ, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. He's talking about walking in fellowship with Christ. That when we ask for those things which keep us in step with Christ. Which keep us in the same direction, the walking with him. And when we walk with the Spirit of Christ in the things that we do and the things that we say, so that we are those who are marked by that Spirit of Christ in even our petitions and our prayers. For when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. So when you pray as one who is willing to forgive others, because that's the Spirit of Christ, the one through whom and in whom you pray and approach the Father. And when we pray such prayers, the Lord hears and does not ignore them. Such prayers that are, of course, accompanied by an obedient and godly lifestyle. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. We looked at it a few weeks ago. There's always obedience attached to a real godly walk. A prayerful individual will always seek to walk in known light. And it will not be simply for the gratification of our lusts and our passions, but for the glorifying of God. You remember what's said in James chapter 4, ye ask and receive not because ye ask it amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Sometimes we ask for the wrong things. We ask for the things that are just for us. It's got no thought of the glory of God, no thought of the good of others, no thought of the advance of the kingdom. It's just what we want. And he says you ask amiss when you ask like that. That's not asking in the will of God. That's asking in lust and self-interest. And of course, when we ask that which will be for the good of the whole, you remember when Solomon prayed there in that time when the Lord met him in that dream? What did he ask for? He said, Lord, thou hast given such good things to my father that he should see his son sit upon the throne, to thy servant that I should sit upon the throne of my father and have this so great a nation. He said, but what I need is something that will enable me to be a blessing to far more than just myself. I need wisdom so that I can go out and come in before these people. I need to know how to speak and what to do so that when I make decisions as the king of the nation, I bring the nation into blessing and not into judgment. And the Lord was pleased to answer that prayer and far more besides. Sometimes we're all so busy asking for the things that Solomon didn't ask for. And getting upset that we don't get the long life and the destruction of our enemies and the adding of wealth and so on. Instead of looking to be made more useful, more fruitful, more gracious and more godly, and God adds all those other things with that. How is it Jesus put it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of such things. When you go for what's most important, when you seek first the kingdom, God doesn't leave you the worse off. It's only when we only look for ourselves that we fall short. Because we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our lusts. Well, here John, in 1 John chapter 5, he's saying, we can have confidence in prayer, but we have to recognize the real conditions of prayer. We have to ask for those things that are declared by God that he will grant in his word, that are deemed best by him as to what we need, and also that are decorous or in line with that which it would be good for God to bestow upon us and enable us to be all that we should be. So when we go to prayer, we should have confidence, but confidence based upon this, that we know the Lord and we love the Lord and we want to be all that we can be for the Lord as he enables us. Let us pray.